In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I thank you for coming tonight to the Feast of the Ascension, Ascension Day. This is one of those often forgotten holy days. We think, of course, of the death of Jesus Christ, we think of his resurrection, but how seldom do we think of his ascension as an important, even an essential part of the story. And so I want to begin by thinking about what it would be like if the ascension never happened. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We know that he still lives today. So if there was no ascension, he would still be on earth. What would that be like? At first, it sounds pretty amazing to me to imagine Jesus maybe in a throne in Jerusalem, or maybe not yet recognized in a throne, maybe living simply in a house in Jerusalem, worshipped by all of the Christians in the world, but physically present. It would mean we would get to see him in person. We would get a type of fellowship with him that was face to face. That would be beautiful. We'd get to go and ask him questions. Lord, what do you think about this and that? And what should we do in this circumstance and that? Except, of course, that today there would be something like 1.5 billion of us trying to do that. A huge portion of the world would be lining up to meet Jesus physically in person. And the effect of that is that we would feel that if we couldn't talk to him, if we couldn't see him, we were missing out. If I didn't get to be one of the people that saw Jesus face to face, then I must not be one of the important Christians. I might not be one of the Christians who really has access to God. If my question can't get answered by Jesus himself, then maybe my question just isn't going to get answered by God, period. If one of the things that the ministry of Jesus does, one of the things of his death and resurrection, one of the things he accomplished was to tear down the barriers between God and ourselves, to give us full access to God, to make it so that every single Christian can go boldly into the presence of God. For Jesus to be physically present on earth in one location, in one place, in one physical body, would mean that once again we were stuck going through Jesus as the intermediary to God, not in the spiritual sense, not in the sense in which he is the one who paid for us, he is the one who advocates for us, but in a physical sense, we would have to line up outside 1 billion deep, hoping to get to see God, talk to him, ask questions of him. We'd be cut off from God in one sense. The ascension is closely connected with the giving of the Holy Spirit. You know, they occur very closely together in our liturgical year as they did historically, just 10 days apart. That's why ascension is always on a Thursday, right? It's always 10 days until Pentecost. In fact, I encourage you, if you are able to, if you're willing to think of these next 10 days as a time of waiting on God. Because for the disciples, it literally was both a time of rejoicing. They just spent 40 days with Jesus in a sort of workshop in theology where they got to hear from Jesus directly. What does it mean that you were raised from the dead? Tell me more about the kingdom of God. They got to ask questions and study with him for 40 days straight. And now he's gone up into heaven in front of their very eyes. And now there's 10 days before the Helper comes, 10 days before the Holy Spirit gets poured out on Christians to empower them, to give them a greater intimacy with God. And I encourage all of us to take these 10 days, not that you're going to take time off from everything you're doing and spend nothing but 10 days in contemplation, but in a special way, just again as we spend Lent in a special time of preparation for Easter, to spend the next 10 days in a special preparation for Pentecost, saying, Lord, prepare me for what you're going to do through the Holy Spirit. Prepare me to love and serve you more, to be empowered for your service, to be drawn into intimacy with you. But the ascension is closely connected with this Pentecost because it is both a preparation and also the sign of, as wonderful as it would be to be physically with Jesus, to see him face to face in a literal physical way, it's actually even better for us to have the Holy Spirit residing in us. However close we can be to another human being, even your spouse or your best friend, the Holy Spirit is even closer to us than that. He's literally dwelling in us. However much we can learn from Jesus if he was physically sitting in front of us and individually teaching us, we can learn even more by having the Holy Spirit actually open up our hearts to receive truth that our hearts would be too hardened to receive otherwise. You see this throughout the Gospels, in which Jesus says things in a brilliant way, and people who should be prepared in every earthly way to receive what he's going to say, people who are experts in the Bible, people who have studied their entire lives to understand exactly what he's telling them, nevertheless reject everything he says because their hearts are hard and their minds are made up. And yet the Holy Spirit, through the miraculous power of God, opens up people to transform their lives in ways that are completely impossible by human means. We get better teaching by having the Holy Spirit than if Jesus was physically in front of us. And we get more intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit than we get if Jesus was physically right next to us. It's hard to imagine sometimes because the idea of seeing him face to face is so beautiful. And wouldn't it be wonderful to see him on TV tonight or something like that? You know, the actual Jesus, not an actor playing him. And yet what we have is actually even better than that. It empowers us for ministry even more. The coming of the Holy Spirit, the sending of the Holy Spirit into our lives, actually sends us out so that every single one of us can become a representative of Jesus. Every single one of us can be empowered to serve Jesus. So that ministry doesn't have to stop and start with Jesus being physically present in one place, as if there's always going to be just one person who's the real person doing ministry, and all the rest of us are just waiting to kind of pick up the scraps from his ministry. Instead, by ascending into heaven and giving us the Holy Spirit, every single one of us becomes a minister of Jesus Christ, becomes empowered to serve him. And finally, the last piece of the ascension I want to emphasize is that so often the language of the ascension is language of enthronement. Jesus is lifted up and put into the throne in heaven. That is, he becomes the king of all creation, something he already had the right to by nature of being God. And yet the image, again, is of him ruling over the entire world, which, again, can be kind of a confusing image because we see so many things still going wrong in our world. God is in control. Jesus is enthroned over the kingdom and enthroned over the entire world. And yet he's not yet intervening in a way to stop all of the evil in our world. And so it can make it hard to think, is he really in charge? And yet the image, again, is of a king who's already on his throne and is yet not yet ready to sort of send in the military to put down the rebellion. Jesus is enthroned over the earth. And yet he's giving people time to repent. He's giving people time to come back to following him before he sends in the military forces to put down the rebellion. And our world is a world of rebellion, but also a world in which repentance is happening and people are turning back to him. And so part of our role as ambassadors of Jesus Christ is to go to all the rebels and say, you still have a chance. You still have a chance to bow the knee before the king comes. Before the king comes and sets everything right, which also means, frankly, disciplining and even overthrowing the rebels. Don't be a rebel. Be someone who bows to the knees to Jesus Christ. Right? But it's genuinely true that he is enthroned, he is the king, and he's ready to take action. He's only holding back taking action out of love and compassion for those who would still come to repent. And so the takeaways as we think about the ascension, again, are to think of how incredible the gift of the Holy Spirit is, and to also think of Jesus enthroned above the earth, enthroned in power, enthroned in glory, in the place of absolute worship. In the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.